flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get a load of this. It's our last hump show of football season. Why is that significant? Well, because football lasts 6 months. So it's our last one of this football season, which means we got to go out with a bang. It's a super hump show with a super-sized edition of Ask Amy Anything. You can send your questions even now for Ryan. He'll be looking on our Twix at Amy After Hours. And then also on our Facebook page. So make sure you check it out. You got a couple hours still to go and some great conversations between now and then. We love collecting Hall of Famers. This is going to be a brand new Hall of Fame to add to our list, which is really cool. And I know those of you who are Steelers fans or Ravens fans, you are extremely familiar with the career of Rod Woodson. I ran into Boomer Esiason on, I guess it was Tuesday morning, right? As we're going over our list of conversations as part of Super Week, and we have access to different guests that we wouldn't normally during the year, including some of the Hall of Famers, and Boomer heard us mention the name of Rod Woodson. So Boomer, he's got big ears. He eavesdrops. He said, "What, Rod? Yes. You make sure you tell him that I think he's the best defensive back ever to play the game. Best defensive back in NFL history." And he went on to say, "Yeah, Deion's great and all, but he didn't want to tackle." That comes from Boomer. He said the great thing about Rod is that he played three different positions. I promised Boomer that I would pass that message along to Rod, which I did, and it was really good to hear his reaction. But a lot more with Rod. For instance, you will not believe what Hall of Fame running back he uses as a comp for Saquon Barkley. So what Hall of Fame running back does he compare Saquon Barkley with after this 2024 season? I can't wait to share that with you. And he still works in Ravens radio, so he's part of their game day crew. His evaluation, his eulogy of the Ravens, if you will. Good stuff with Rod. We'll hear from him coming up an hour from now. Also, it's an annual conversation I look forward to. This time, every year, every winter, our friend, and it's not like we couldn't get him during the season, but it just always works out this way because he's more available. Solomon Wilcots, who is a former Cincinnati Bengal DB. So I guess we're going defensive backfield on this edition of the show. Solomon played in a Super Bowl. Actually, he was teammates with Boomer Esiason when they played in that Super Bowl. And
I was all about the beefcake.
Shoot, I forgot what year that was. Late 80s, maybe? I think. Don't quote me. It was early in my football watching career. And Ryan was not around. Carlos, were you around when Boomer played in the Super Bowl?
I don't remember it.
Okay, just me then. I'm the old dude, or the old member of the group. OG, if you will. So Solomon Wilcots on Radio Row in New Orleans, but he recently went to Portugal. And I was checking out the photos on his social media. I actually think I'm more interested in what he has to say about Portugal than I am about New Orleans. My apologies to the Crescent City. And then in honor of National Women and Girls in Sports Day, really excited to welcome a brand new guest to the show. For those of you who are in Boston, maybe you know about the Renegades, a 6-time national champion squad. Again, the Boston Renegades. in tackle football. Yes, there is a women's professional football league here in the United States. It's also a sport at the international level. So she's a two-time gold medalist in tackle football. And maybe you know that flag football is being added to the Olympics. She's a five-time member of the U.S. Women's National Flag Football Team. So Adrian has a ton of experience in the game, also in New Orleans. But here's what's really neat. She's dedicated to growing the game, not just for girls, but for boys as well. So her focus is young people. And she's also an entrepreneur. She has developed a card game, which is all the rage right now in schools, elementary schools. So I'm excited to ask her about Blitz Champs. That's her latest venture. Now, she's very accomplished. You read anything about Adrian Smith, she is a star, a pioneer, a trailblazer. And in honor of National Women and Girls in Sports Day, she will join us in our final hour from New Orleans, and we'll talk about her football career, but also this incredible venture and the way that she's been presented to. She's got a big schedule on Wednesday, so it's awesome to be able to snag a few minutes with her. But she's not just a player, she enjoys coaching. So she'll be coaching at the Native American game in New Orleans coming up on Wednesday, and she'll serve as a guest coach at Jen Welter's A Day in the Life Camp for Women. So she's got a bunch of events on Wednesday, but we're excited that we'll have a few minutes with her. So that's our guest list for this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you missed it, we had Ron Rivera to start the week, the longtime NFL coach. Also had fun veering off the beaten path, sometimes into a ditch, with Lindsay Rhodes, the longtime NFL host and analyst who's big into the data science, the next level gen stats, or next gen level stats. Sometimes I make up my own phrases. So if you missed those conversations, they're part of our podcast. I did spend a lot of time on social media on Tuesday. it's just that week where in order to get the word out, you've got to be on social. And so if you missed it, there are links on my Twix at A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find the conversation with Lindsay as well as the conversation with Ron Rivera. And if you've not seen the photo, I snagged this off Ron's Twitter. It's pretty sweet. He got to attend the Army-Navy game. I think it was the first time he went, and the photos that he shared. So just look for Riverboat Ron and his Army-Navy photo. It's pretty sweet. He's a big supporter of the military, USAA, and the salute to service. That's why he'll be in New Orleans. So those are on both of our social media sites, and we'll continue to share these conversations as we head through the week. It's a lot. It's a lot on our end, but I always feel like it's worth it. As exhausted and somewhat delirious as I am about midweek, and here it is, the hump show, I remind myself that this is the week we work up to all season long. And then, of course, the Super Bowl. Have you decided what you're cooking up, whipping up for your Super Bowl party, your Super Bowl festivities? Since I have to take notes for the game, and that's pretty nerdy, I don't go to a party. But the Hubs and I are planning a little menu of our own. He is making... Well, he likes to make some fun appetizers, which I always look forward to. Like recently, jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon. But he's great to take the jalapeno seeds out because, for whatever reason, if I eat a jalapeno, the top of my head burns. I swear my scalp feels like it's on fire. I don't know if I'm allergic to them or not. But bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers with cream cheese in the middle? Oh, delicious. And so he's making his version of Texas chili. I've never had it. He actually says he'll put beans in it for me, but apparently Texas chili is usually straight meat and tomatoes, but also hot. So between jalapeno poppers and Texas chili, there might be a fire somewhere in my house on Sunday.
Toilet.
Oh, Ryan.
Sorry.
No, gross.
That was a lob.
I don't care. We don't use sophomore humor. We don't use Peter Schwartz. I had to ban toilet humor on After Hours going back to the very beginning because Peter Schwartz loved to come back from commercial breaks after he'd used the restroom here in the building and have stories about the restroom. No.
Okay. That's different. Okay.
We don't do bathroom stories here on the show.
I didn't give a story. I just said toilet. That's
right.
It.
You don't need to do that. Please. Don't derail the show. So we've got our menu planned. I think most of it's him, but I am making in the crock pot a buffalo chicken dip because I've started a couple of years ago and now it's my favorite. I think we're going to get a rotisserie chicken this year and shred it and use those pieces of chicken in the dip. Now, in the past, I've done canned chicken, which is fine from Sam's or Walmart, and it tastes just as good. But I am going to try rotisserie chicken and get bold. So our Super Bowl 59 party slash work sesh will at least have good food along with. And yes, we will be here Sunday night immediately following the game. I heard from producer Pete and from Ryan that Ross Tucker, who is a longtime football analyst and former NFL offensive lineman himself, he will join us from New Orleans after the game. So we'll have instant analysis with Ross. And he's got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, also an Odyssey insider. So we're excited to have him signed up for Sunday night, Super Bowl 59. But it still feels too early to start talking about the game. That's the thing. There are a lot of interviews, and I would say there is a vast majority of these interviews taking place in New Orleans or on Radio Row that will tell you who's going to win the game. That makes me roll my eyes. Because we've been doing this now for a week and a half. Who's going to win the game? Nah. We come up with more original questions. So you're not going to hear me ask anyone who's going to win the game. But I did enjoy talking to Rod Woodson and Solomon Wilcots and excited to connect with Adrian Smith. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4227. You know what else I did on Tuesday? I spent half plus hour, that sounds funny, a half hour plus watching, not just listening, but watching the Luka Doncic introductory press conference, or as Charles Barkley called him, Luka Doncic. Doncic, I think is what he called him. It's amazing to me. Now, I do mess up names. For a couple of years, I insisted on calling George Kittle Greg Kittle, so I really have no room to stand. I did. I don't know why. It's not like I didn't know his name, but every time I opened up my mouth, it came out Greg Kittle. You know what happens? You get someone's name, or in this case, their wrong name, stuck in your head, and you just can't quite shed it. So yes, I did call him Greg, so I can't really make fun or tease Charles Barkley for all the names he gets wrong. I watched the whole thing because I really wanted to see Luka's, it's safer to stick with Luka.
Luka Doncic.
I really wanted to see Luka's body language. I'm not sure how many of you watched. It's obvious this is not easy for him. The more questions he was asked about playing with LeBron, playing in a Lakers uniform, about playing for J.J. Redick, who, if you may remember, was his short-time teammate there in Dallas. Also, Luka was a guest on his podcast a couple times. The more he was asked questions about even Kobe Bryant, I thought his answer about Kobe playing for the same franchise as Kobe, but also meeting Kobe, I thought that was, it was appealing on a bunch of different levels. It was sensitive. It was thoughtful. It's obviously something that meant a lot to Luka. So as they went through the press conference, oh my gosh, almost every single reporter who asked a question, local, welcome to LA. Wow, they're really friendly there. Ryan just rolled his eyes. Welcome to LA. Even people who don't live in LA, welcome to LA. It was kind of funny. And so he got a warm reception there. The more he talked, even when he was asked questions by Dallas reporters, because there were Dallas reporters there in Los Angeles for the introduction, he seemed to warm up. And so the thought crossed my mind, I wonder if this is therapeutic for him, getting some of this off his chest. He was very candid about his emotions, how he found out he was getting traded, the roller coaster ride of the last 48 hours. He thought it was an April Fool's joke. I thought it was a joke. Many people did, in fact, think that there was a fake account out there trying to dupe us. That happens every year, by the way. Beware, because Thursday is the NBA trade deadline officially. There are some pretty big names being bandied about. Kevin Durant, oh, what a shocker. He's on the trade block again. If Kevin Durant goes back to the Golden State Warriors, that's it. It's like Groundhog Day. He gets traded every friggin' year. So Kevin Durant on the trade block again. He's not the only one. What happens with Jimmy Butler? It seems like with his punk behavior that he has backed the Heat into a corner and that he has forced their hand. Now that obviously means the rest of the teams in the league know that the Heat want to unload him, which means they're not likely to give up everything that Miami would like in return. And maybe it's not as big a haul anymore. He spent some time being injured. He's been a bit of a brat. I'm not saying he is one. He's acting like one. I hate how he has handled his business with the Heat the last few weeks, to the point where they've had to suspend him 3 times for conduct detrimental. Jimmy Butler could be moved before the trade deadline on Thursday. We're also going to hear from Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, who is excited to play with his friend Ant, but is mourning, that's his word, the trade of Luka. And then LeBron, following the Lakers' big victory over the Clippers on Tuesday night. No, Luka did not play. And then you get Rob Pelinka's version of how the whole thing worked out. Also, surfacing for the first time in what feels like forever, Kirk Cousins addressing the Falcons' demise, if you will. The timing around him getting benched. And he also talked about his future and got a bit defiant about what his future holds. Teaser, he's not done. Spoiler alert, he says he's not done. I've actually seen people floating this out there. What do you think of this, Ryan? Myles Garrett for Kirk Cousins.
What? Are the Browns dumb or dumb?
Well, it's better than what they have. Except they don't really have an offensive line. But no, obviously Myles Garrett is a much better player at this point in his career, and he's younger. And so you're not going to make that trade straight up. But Browns do need a quarterback. They have the number 2 overall pick, but what if that number 2 overall pick is not ready to go? Or what if they'd rather have a veteran and use that pick on an offensive lineman? Or someone to replace Myles Garrett?
The Falcons would need to have to give up so much to get Myles Garrett on top of Cousins. Because at this point, is Kirk Cousins even a positive asset?
Well, they're one team's trash, quote unquote. I don't think he's trash. That's not what I'm saying. But the phrase is one man's trash, another man's treasure, right? And if you need a quarterback, he's better than nothing. He's better than Gardner Minshew. I would say he's better than Jameis Winston, though Jameis certainly is angling for a job while he's in New Orleans working for Fox Sports NFL. Did you guys see the exchanges that he had when he was on, what would you call that? When he was working opening night on Monday, he had this funny exchange with Nick Sirianni where he pretended to care about the Super Bowl and then was like, yeah. So what team should I sign with in the offseason? But he seemed to ask that of everyone out there. So it's kind of funny. Jameis is campaigning actively for a job. So he doesn't believe he's going back to Cleveland. So if your options are Kirk Cousins or Gardner Minshew, then maybe it doesn't look quite so unfavorable. You could have Sam Darnold. Oh, poor Sam Darnold. That would just be wrong. We send him to Cleveland. No.
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 I think they just reset with the money because you got to pay these guys $40 million plus other way. So I'd rather have no quarterback than one of those two.
They've had 2 years of that.
Well, yeah.
Almost three years of that.
They had ideas of a quarterback.
Right. Designs on a quarterback. They do still have to pay one another $100 million. That's all. So send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Look for the bright orange box. It is on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. I'm pretty sure we pinned it to the top of that show account. And then also on our Facebook page, which I have not yet opened up. Hall of Famer Rod Woodson at the top of the hour, but straight ahead, Luka Doncic reacting to the trade in his own words. We finally get to hear from this former Maverick, now Laker. Wow. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Trying to get it to Luka, they do, but way outside. Jackson switches on to him. Can he get it away in time on the step back? He does. He hits. He hits. And the Mavericks have won the game. Luka Doncic with a 30-footer to win it at the horn. And the series is tied at two games apiece.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Chuck Cooperstein on Dallas Mavericks Radio. Moving forward, he'll only be calling a miracle Luka Doncic shot if it happens in a game between the Mavericks and the Lakers, because as we know, this shook up the NBA and really sports as a whole when Luka was traded late on Saturday night without his prior knowledge. And he has confirmed that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page. Also on Twix at Amy After Hours. Look for the bright orange box, the yellow thought bubble. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Last one of the football season. We'll say it's a supersized, super weak edition of Ask Amy. Luka sitting next to Rob Pelinka, both on stools holding microphones. He didn't look 275 pounds or whatever he's supposed to be. But he did have a bit of a slump to him. And he didn't smile for quite a while into the press conference. So I was watching as well as listening. I wanted to see what his body language looked like. This was not easy for him. And it's clear that he's not yet happy about the trade. It's clear this was not his first choice and that he has struggled with his emotions since finding out on Saturday night.
Honestly, it was hard first. That first day was really hard. I felt like this last 48 hours was 1 month. Like 2 days ago was 1 month ago. So emotionally, it was really hard. But every day that I, like today, was much better. You know, I'm just very happy to be here for this opportunity. It's the Lakers. It's one of the best clubs in history. So I'm excited to be here.
Over and over, that's what he came back to. That was the fallback line. It's one of the best organizations in history. It's a winning organization. I'm here to pursue a championship. I'm happy for the opportunity. It was clear that this was what he was going to say every time. It was the company line, if you will. Not that the Lakers need him to do anything but be Luka, but I believe he was very careful not to offend the Lakers or the Lakers fan base or to sneeze in the face of this opportunity, even though he's still processing the exit from Dallas. But if you watch him, it took him a while to warm up. He didn't smile very often. And when he did, it was a slight smile. We're not talking about great joy. We're not talking about enthusiasm. No, he's still in shock. You can tell. JJ Redick too was talking about Luka and having him around, but also understanding what he needs in getting acclimated, right? Remember, they were former teammates briefly in Dallas, and Luka did mention that he doesn't do podcasts, but he went on with JJ twice So they ended up canceling practice or formal practice on Tuesday so that Rob and Luca could have the stage. And yeah, they're thrilled to have him, but certainly understand the change.
We didn't want to have shoot around today just because the press conference was happening. We wanted to kind of keep our guys away from the building and let Luca and Rob sort of have their thing. And, you know, guys were in, though. We had a gym, we had a court time after the presser, so he was around some of the guys then. Saw some of them yesterday, too, once he got done with his physical, and we were kind of wrapping up just the brief team meeting we had. And, you know, then again today. So I think tomorrow will be the first kind of normal day, even though he's not necessarily going to be practicing with us. He will be on the court. He will be in the film session, all that stuff.
Easing him in a bit, though obviously he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't played since Christmas Day, I believe. And Rob Pelinka was fielding questions about when Luka might be ready to suit up with the Lakers.
We have 5-on-5 scheduled tomorrow for Luka. And we're going to take it one day at a time just to make sure that the calf injury is in a good and safe place. So I would truly say at this point he's day to day.
Of course, the number one narrative around this trade is whether or not Luka was shipped out of Dallas because he's too fat. I mean, I guess I'm using hyperbole, or I'm overstating. Because he doesn't enjoy conditioning, because he likes beer more than he likes conditioning, because he's not in good shape, because that's led to injuries. Now, it's taken on a life of its own. We've not heard that as much from the Mavericks, though Nico Harrison did reference the fact that they do want him to, or they did want him to kind of be in better shape, but that wasn't the highlight of Nico Harrison's press conference when he tried to explain why he traded away Luka Doncic. So Luka was asked on Tuesday about these complaints regarding his physical shape.
At some point I knew this was going to happen, but I would say I always take the high road. You know, I had my amazing moments in Dallas, with all my teammates, coaches, and the most importantly, the fans, you know, they always supported me. And it was an amazing journey.
He was asked too, now there's no point in us cutting this because it was just a short exchange. One reporter brought up Nico Harrison's concern. Nico, by the way, is the general manager of the Mavericks. Nico's concern that Luka wouldn't want to sign the max deal to stay in Dallas. And even as the question is being posed, Luka's shaking his head, which of course you can't hear, shaking his head. And the question was phrased this way: at any point, did you or your representation tell the Mavericks that you might not sign a deal, a max deal? This is all he said: absolutely not. So shaking his head, absolutely not. At another point, he said, they made a decision. I don't know why. So there were a couple of moments where you could feel the struggle and you could see kind of the pain for him still getting acclimated. But yeah, he actually admits he didn't think it was real when he first heard about it.
I mean, everybody was surprised, so you can imagine how surprised I was. I was almost asleep, so when I got a call, I had to check it was April 1st. I didn't really believe it at first. And it was a bit shock. It was hard moments for me. It was home. So it was really hard moments for me, especially the first day. But as I said, you know, I get to play in the greatest club in the world, and I'm excited for this new journey.
Every single time, that was what it came back to, which I appreciate. That's professional. You're processing this surprise, but you don't want that to take away from the Lakers, right? At 25 years old, you're now partnered with one of the greatest players of all time for an organization that has multiple, almost said raptors, multiple banners hanging in the rafters, right? These things are hard on the hump show. And he did indicate that LeBron reached out to him immediately. Remember, the Lakers were in New York, I believe, on as part of an East Coast road trip. And so what about playing alongside LeBron?
Just like a dream come true, you know. I always look up to him. There's so many things I can learn from him. And I'm just excited, you know, just to learn everything. And now I get to play with him. So it's an amazing feeling.
Something else that was interesting, another reporter asked Luka, do you feel like you have something to prove? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. I have everything to prove. How do you do it? You win a championship. That's what he said. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He did say multiple times he's very motivated as well. You'll hear what he had to say about Kobe Bryant straight ahead. Now, Kyrie Irving and the Dallas Mavericks, they're also adjusting to a new normal. They were on the road in Philadelphia, lost by a couple of points despite his big game on Tuesday night. But he was asked for his reaction to not playing with Luka anymore.
Really shocked, and you know, you just don't imagine that you're gonna get ready to go to sleep and then you find out news like that, you know. So it's still a grieving process right now. Miss my hermano, you know, we had a lot of time together.
I miss my hermano. We had a lot of time together. Now he gets to play with Anthony Davis, someone with whom he has a pre-existing friendship. And Davis confirmed that himself in his first comments as a member of the Mavericks.
I'm very excited. I mean, me and Kyle talked about this, I think, in 2018. You know, when I asked for a trade from New Orleans, he was in Boston, I think, at the time, and he ended up leaving, going to Brooklyn. But, you know, we've been wanting to play alongside each other for a very long time, and now, you know, we got the opportunity to do so.
So there's more with Anthony Davis. There's also some reaction from LeBron on TNT post-game. And then a little more with both Luka and Rob. They were the only two up there for the press conference. The body language was telling. It definitely gave you the story behind the story, if you will. But I thought Luka handled himself well. He was professional. He was complimentary of the organization. He had good words to say about the Dallas fans, as well as how he's been welcomed to this point by LA. But it was obvious that he's still processing, and it's still potentially a shock to him. If there are Dallas fans who watched, you could bear to watch, what did you think? At A-Law Radio, but also get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything. Comes up in our third hour of the show. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champion Rod Woodson at the top of the hour. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's LeBron, picks him out of three. No, got it back on a pass, foul, and a bucket. Perfect give and go by Jackson Hayes. LeBron lays it up and in. Laker lead is 22, and LeBron can make it 23 if he makes this free throw.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
LeBron finishes with 26. They really didn't need much from him in the second half as the Lakers cruised past the Clippers by 25 points on Tuesday night. Obviously, no Luka Doncic and now no Anthony Davis either, but Austin Reeves chipped in 20. They also got 20 from Rui Hachimura. And so it was an easy victory, but most of the attention still is on Luka and when he might be out there on the court in Lakers gold. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's John Ireland from Lakers Radio. It's interesting to hear the questions for Rob Pelinka. Now, he did talk about the trade, how it came together, but also without Anthony Davis, they don't have a big.
We know we have a need for a big. The market for bigs right now, leading into the last two or three days of the trade deadline, is very dry. There's just not a lot available. So maybe we'll be able to do some stuff around the margins, I would say, in terms of a big move for that position. It's probably more realistic that that would be something that comes in the offseason.
As much as he was controlled, and he always is, he was very complimentary of Luka. He was thrilled about the idea of now adding him to their team. Although I got to be honest, seeing the Now that you can see the video, but the still shots I think are more jarring. You know how AI often, when a player gets traded, will put that player right away into his new team colors, but it's not real. He's not been photographed or she's not been photographed in new team colors, but you can use computer graphics, blah, 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 whatever. And you can pretend like they're already in those team colors. And so I felt like that's what I was watching. And the still photos were popping up on social media of LeBron and Luka sitting next to each other on a bench and Luka wearing a Lakers pullover. So it's black, but it has the Lakers logo on it. And still, as much as he said the right things on Tuesday, his body language is not one in which he's completely comfortable. That's obvious. So how did this come together from the Lakers' perspective? Rob Pelinka giving his version.
When the concept was initially introduced to us, it was, hey, the only way we can even have these discussions was if it's between owner and GMs. And there was a commitment to that. And if we broke that commitment by talking to anyone else, this day would never happen.
How about that? They were sworn to secrecy, owners and GMs, that's it, which means J.J. Redick didn't know either. We know Jason Kidd didn't because he was shell-shocked when they gave their comments on Sunday. J.J. Redick didn't know. LeBron didn't know. So not only has LeBron said that himself, but Rob Pelinka has now said it. And as he was talking, he indicated that after some initial conversations with Nico Harrison, they had to involve owners, which of course is Jeannie Buss. And then he went to her and tried to present it to her. Now, I'm assuming that she did not laugh the way Nico Harrison said the Mavericks owner laughed. But now that the deal is done, after a few weeks of keeping it on the DL, they've got a 25-year-old Luka Doncic for, well, as long as they can keep him, as long as they're winning.
It's a gift. We're talking about a 25-year-old that is top three player in the universe. I can't think of a more amazing starting point to build a roster for the next decade. And I know he has the drive to win that we have here. Our fans are going to see that every night on the court. I know up here he might seem calm and casual and quiet, but we know the alter ego comes out, and we'll see it at crypto.com soon, and I can't wait for it.
Couple more things that were brought up to Luka. One was about defense, and he did say, again, it was posed as a question of, hey, this was a complaint Dallas had about you, and he said, I've been working very hard on it this year. Now, he hasn't played since Christmas, so we haven't seen him for a while, but he was very earnest in his response that I'm working on it. I understand this is a part of my game that they wanted me to commit to, and I've been working on it. Also, something else that I thought was interesting, when he was asked about the conditioning and the complaints that have surfaced, this narrative around Luka, Rob Pelinka jumped in immediately and he said, if you don't mind, I'm going to answer that question too. He said, and I'll paraphrase, at 25 years old, it's a process. You still have a long way to go. And he said, over the course of a professional career, where you start and where you finish are two completely different things. And it's a journey to be a pro, to have longevity in this business. So he was, without being defensive, because he didn't come across that way, Rob has a really easy manner about him. It's disarming, if you will. But it was clear that he was defending Luka and making the point that the Lakers are willing to work with him without saying, oh, we're going to make sure he starts conditioning. But remember, LeBron is maniacal about his workouts. And so this is the guy that will be working with Luka now, right? Because LeBron's the leader. LeBron's the Hall of Famer. LeBron's the champion. Luka wants to get where LeBron is. And he's going to have some kind of an example to follow. Say what you will about LeBron. You don't have to like him. But the fact that he is now in his 22nd season and is still in incredible shape, this is Tom Brady-like territory. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for LeBron, after the victory, he was asked about the trade on TNT.
been a whirlwind, so I can only imagine, or I can't even imagine, how Luka and AD and Max Christie and Maxi Kleber and obviously Hood Schifino was one of our teammates as well. So it's been challenging for sure.
Hmm. And then the follow-up on TNT, well, how will the Lakers look with Luka in the lineup?
It's going to be special, I think so. You know, we're going to attract a lot of eyes. Obviously, our ability to score, rebound, pass, it's going to make it a lot easier on our teammates. And that's all we want to do. We want to be able to create opportunities for our teammates. Listen, Luka's a big-time player, 25 years old, haven't even reached his prime yet, and he's done some amazing shit in our league already.
I feel like the older LeBron gets, the more he's willing to drop some type of a word that has to be bleeped on national TV. We hear that more and more.
They didn't even bleep it.
Oh, they did it? It just went out over the TV? I didn't hear it initially. What's the old adage? Act now, apologize later. Something along Pay those lines. Right, exactly. Let's see. What else do I want to drop you? Let's do one more, just because I teased it. One of the first questions of the press conference was about Luka's previous meeting with Kobe Bryant.
Just for Kobe to know my name was amazing for me. And, you know, I just wish Kobe and Gigi were here to see this moment. And, you know, I'm excited about this new journey and happy to be here.
He also went on to say, he referenced the fact that it was an impactful moment in his life because he was young, right? He was a teenager at the time and how that stuck with him. And he was really thoughtful too, mentioning that he wished Kobe was there and Gigi too. And so I thought that being prepared for that question right off the top, it was, I think, the first one that he got asked from an LA reporter along the lines of, you know, some of the LeBron questions and about playing in a Lakers uniform. He was properly respectful and professional about it. But still, he got blindsided by this, and his body language indicated he's still processing. Rod Woodson is next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.